everyone, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 1 of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm your host, Tyler Wall. Well, it is good to be back recording episodes for the podcast, and I am so excited about this new season titled, It's Personal. I want to begin by reading John chapter 17, verses 1 through 3. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God invites us to an intimate and personal relationship with him through his Son, Jesus. But how do we build that personal relationship? Throughout the season, we will take a look at how to do just that. To kick off this series, I'm excited to have Barry Bachman join the show. Barry is the campus minister at the Stillwater Church of Christ in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and works alongside the students at Oklahoma State University. Throughout the show, we discuss what it means to have a personal relationship with God, how our busy lives can impact that relationship, and things we can do in our everyday lives to build a personal relationship with God. Buckle up, everyone. This is Road Trips. All right, Barry Bachman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tyler.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on for a while and thought that this would be a good topic for you. We're talking about building a personal relationship with God and just kind of what that looks like. So I just want to start out by asking, let's just define our terms. What does it mean, in your words, to have a personal relationship with God?
I'm excited about this topic because I think we were kind of talking about this before, like you said, but I think it's an interesting one for college students, which I guess work with college students a lot. And so kind of helping them navigate this entry into, I have this faith that I've received from my parents. What does it look like for this to be mine? What does it look like for me to live this out and for this to be kind of meaningful to me? And I think about a story from scripture being Isaiah 6, where not that we necessarily know much about Isaiah before this moment, but Isaiah has this moment where he kind of experiences God, and it kind of changes everything. It's the beginning of his call and change in his life. And so not that necessarily it has to be that dramatic for us, but I think it's this kind of process where our faith becomes ours in a way that shapes us and that changes things for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like how you say it's a process, because I think that we tend to forget that knowing God and having that personal relationship with him is a lifelong process, is that day by day you find more reasons to know him and to look to him and to find new ways that he's faithful and that he's good. And so it is a process. And, I like your perspective on it, because you are, you know, seeing people, as this podcast is kind of geared towards young adults, you know, you're seeing people coming in from high school and now, you know, mom and dad aren't waking you up at 8 a.m. to go to worship on Sundays. They're having to get up and make that decision on their own after, you know, we stayed up late watching OSU lose again, you know, on a Saturday night. But you know, that's really kind of a time when you start making it your own. But I mean, to your credit, it doesn't stop there, and it is a process. So I like what you said there. So it's good to, you know, understand the Bible and to know it intellectually, but that's not where we stop there. Why should our relationship with God be personal as opposed to just knowing facts about God?
Yeah. I think part of it is that's the way that God made us. You know, I think about even kind of going back to the beginning, Genesis 2, whenever there's this moment where God will say to Adam, it's not good for him, or I won't say to him, but I'll say about him, it's not good for him to be alone. And so in the story, right, Eve is taken from his side, and in this relationship, marriage is started. And I think that's even some of what it means for us to be made in the image of God. This is kind of, I don't know, but thinking about it, I mean, God is kind of inherently relational and existing in this relationship between Father and Son and Holy Spirit always. And so I think this desire for us to know him in relationship and in a relational way is kind of part of who he made us to be and part of the way that he made us to kind of exist with him. Even again in the garden, like we think about Adam and Eve walking with God in the cool of the evening. And I think really this is, in a lot of ways, it's kind of the movement of the biblical story. As the fall happens and the relationship with God kind of gets broken, this is kind of almost always the thing that God is trying to restore and to repair. As we think about maybe the tabernacle, God's presence is able to be with them again. And then there's the temple, and God's presence is able to be with them again. And then God's presence is with them incarnate in Jesus, Emmanuel with us, and then in the Spirit. And I think about one of the ways that heaven kind of gets summed up in Revelation 21 is that he will be their God and they will be his people. This picture that God will kind of get to be with his people again, or that they'll get to be with him. And so I think it's part of the way God made us. And I think it's a huge part of the biblical story of the way that, of what God is trying to do in restoring that relationship.
Yeah. I really like how you frame that, and just kind of saying that, yes, that is how you made us, looking at that, how he made us, you know, looking at going back to the garden, saying, you know, Adam, you know, you need someone, just as we as people don't need to be alone in our, you know, earthly personal relationships. We need other people. And then throughout the whole story of Scripture, we see God kind of reconciling others to him and giving us that opportunity to know him through his son, Jesus. And I think that leads perfectly into my next question for you is this: what role does reading, understanding, knowing the Gospels play in building a personal relationship with God?
Yeah. I think it's super important. I think like in John's gospel, kind of the way that he'll kind of introduce that story is that I'll kind of down towards maybe verse 14 or 18 and somewhere in there, he'll kind of use language that no one has ever seen God, but the one and only who is from God has made him known. That there is this sense, it seems like, for the disciples that even like kind of having grown up, you know, as faithful Jews, you know, part of the people of God, there's this sense in which in encountering Jesus, they're like, wow, like we see God, like we see what he is like, and we know him. I think about, you know, some other stories like the parable of the prodigal son, that story that Jesus will tell. And I think probably for a lot of people, and this is probably true in a lot of ways of my story, one of the maybe big turning points in developing a personal relationship with God, maybe moving from kind of a frame of understanding God only in terms of kind of the sense of his justice or his role kind of as judge, which is a good and right and biblical role. But I think I didn't always have a good understanding or grasp of maybe seeing him as Father, you know, and so I kind of always just pictured him as distant. And so I think some of the ways that we encounter Jesus, I think, helps make that clear, at least I think it has for me in my story, of seeing God as gracious and as loving and as kind of present and involved and engaged and not you know, I think one of the things that is common in our culture is that we're kind of, I think as culture tries to kind of push God to the margins, you can kind of adopt a worldview that just doesn't know where to put God or doesn't know where to, where's he at, what's he doing, what's going on. And I think Jesus and the story of the gospel pushes back on that, right? Like Jesus literally shows up doing stuff, you know? And so I think helping us embrace a worldview that sees God as present and active and as gracious and loving, not in place of, but in addition to, or that's the context in which his maybe justice is, you know?
I like what you said, and I just want to take it from what you said at the beginning is, you know, knowing the Gospels can help us understand God's character even more, because we read who God was in the flesh, and that can be easy to forget that Jesus was very human. So if we want to understand the qualities of God in a human way, like what would this look like if God was on earth? Well, he was, and it was Jesus, and we saw how he interacted and how he something that's just been on my mind lately is reading the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, how God through Jesus just rewrites people's stories, how people were once you know, known for this thing or known for this sin even, and God through Jesus rewrites that story. And I think that goes to show how Jesus lived his life on earth. He loved the outcasts of society, and there were so many outcasts in that society, more so than there are today. He loved all people. And he also was, to your point, he was firm. He wasn't afraid to say things that needed to be said. And so if you want to, you know God better, reading the Gospels is such a great way to start, because you're seeing God in flesh work while he was here on earth. And then you understand God better, like you were saying, through his sacrificial love, because we read the story of his death and his burial and his resurrection, how he sacrificed his life for us, and how God sent Jesus to die for us. And so I think that's such a good place to look. It's so simple, and yet it can be really easy to overlook. And I think that it can be easy to forget that Jesus was human, and that we can find the qualities of God through Jesus's life here on earth. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Well, and one thing that kind of, I think, just made me think of is, there's some moments where Jesus will say some challenging things. I think about, and Jesus will say, take up your cross and follow me, you know, and I remember there was a time, I was probably in high school or so, where I had a hard time. It was probably one of those moments where you're beginning to make your faith your own, right? And I was kind of moving from, I grew up going to church and kind of doing the thing, but I was kind of moving to a place where I was like, man, this really needs to have more of an impact on my life. You know, this really needs, if I'm going to be serious about this really has more influence, or ought to have more influence than I've been giving it credit for. And so I remember there was a time there when I struggled to read the Gospels, because almost in doing so, I was forced to confront Jesus and the question of what was I going to do with him. And I wasn't able, you know, I think that we can make a caricature of Jesus and reduce him to, you know, extremes. You know, we can make him kind of one thing or the other. And so sometimes we want to reduce him to just kind of a Jesus that makes us feel good and just kind of pats us on the back for whatever we, you know, just kind of affirms whatever we're doing. And what I love about Jesus is he's able to hold that incredible tension, right, of this incredible sacrificial, compassionate, welcoming love, but also can tell the rich person, hey, go sell everything you have and follow me, you know. And so in the Gospels, we're kind of forced to wrestle with the Jesus that both welcomes us, but also calls us to change and be different. And that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And that change that he asks us to make leads us to being able to call God Father through being a child of God. And
yeah.
And I love that you brought that up. And Jesus plays such a central role in us being able to call God our Father and to have that personal relationship with him. I actually recorded the next episode after yours earlier, and I don't want to spoil it too much, but we talked a little bit about Hebrews and how, you know, just the book of Hebrews really goes through, you know, through Jesus, this is what we have through God and, you know, the great high priest and all of that. And I just love that imagery of what Jesus did for us, the life that he calls us to live. Mm-hmm. It points us to God, calling us his children. And I think that that's just, it's a perfect plan, and it's an amazing plan. And I we love to talk about it, and we should talk about it. And it all leads us to having that personal relationship with God. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit. You're busy. You're around a lot of busy people. College students are very busy. Do you think the busyness of life can prevent us from a deep personal relationship with God?
Yeah, I think absolutely. There's a quote I'd heard at some point, or I guess read somewhere where this guy was kind of talking to a friend and was kind of asking, you know, what's the biggest kind of enemy that we face, kind of biggest enemy we face towards spiritual growth? And what this, you know, person said, for whatever it's worth, is hurry, you know, or busyness. And I think that that's so true, because I think that I think we're kind of trained to see busyness as almost a status symbol. It's kind of almost a badge of honor that we wear as kind of to kind of show our importance or our work ethic or things. And there's a lot to be said for hard work and things like that. Not to devalue those, but I think in doing that, we kind of busyness can kind of become this thing that can cause us to struggle to make space for God. It can kind of train us to live, I think, in a sense of hurry that teaches us not to pay attention to the people around us, and teaches us not to, to pay attention to the things that God might be doing around us, the people that he might be bringing into our life that we can influence. And so, yeah, I think busyness is so kind of deeply ingrained in our culture and kind of what we expect. But I think it does kind of, I think it pushes that space for God to the margin sometimes.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think about, you know, just day-to-day interactions where if you ask people how they're doing, like most of the time they're going to say, good, we're busy, you know. I think about the story that we read a lot when we talk about this, the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus is at their house and Martha's cleaning, getting ready, and Mary's just sitting with Jesus. And you know, Martha's like, what are you doing, Mary? Like, I'm trying to be a good host. And Jesus is just like, you're missing it, because she's with me. And I think that goes to show that, like, you can be doing a lot of good things and a lot of good, helpful things, even for the kingdom. And yet you can still miss just spending time with God. You can just miss, you can miss enjoying his presence. And I think maybe that can be something that can be easy to miss, is just the idea of just being still, meditating, spending time in prayer, and just kind of building that personal relationship with God and just thinking about the things that, that he's done for our lives. I think that that's just a powerful thing to do. And so, yeah, it can cause us to put blinders on, like you said, and just kind of miss what maybe God is doing in our lives or what other people are doing in our lives. Yeah, it can cause a lot of dangers. And I think that that all goes to maybe hindering our personal relationship with God.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I think about, I love that you mentioned meditating, because I think that that, yeah, I think just kind of meditating and sitting with scripture is such an important way and such a big part of our relationship with God, of kind of, I think helping us get, you know, really get to know him and just kind of sit and reflect on his character. And I think what's crazy, and sometimes we miss this, I think I miss this a lot of times, but there's like a whole huge book of our Bible. Like if you open up to the middle of your Bible, it's hard to miss the book of Psalms, which is like the whole thing is about kind of this, this kind of intimate and personal relationship with God. It is kind of, kind of shows a lot of different expressions of faith, where sometimes it's kind of in the context of community, but the book of Psalms, and there's some community in there, but yeah, it really is a great example of this kind of one-on-one kind of being with God. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going to the Psalms, you read David just being, most of the time it's David just being so open and honest and with God and personal with God. And you can't say those things without one, knowing that God is faithful and that God has been good all throughout his life. And two, without having that personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not, then you kind of run the danger of just going through the motions of, okay, well, I'm attending church, I'm praying before meals, I'm singing, you know, whatever it is. And I think that that can also be a danger of busyness too, is that, well, all of a sudden faith is just a part of your schedule. And then, you know, Wednesday night, you know, service or a Bible study, whatever it is. I think that can just be, that can just become, you know, a part of your schedule, and you just, and you just say, well, yeah, exactly. It's a box to check. And, that sometimes maybe, it's going to be that way just because of how busy life can be. But I never think God wants us to stay that way, because I think then we're really missing perhaps the kind of life that Jesus is asking us to live when he does say, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. And so,
and the kind of life he invites us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think about John 10, right? I've come that you may have life abundantly, you know, and that there's a richness there that I think we miss when we kind of miss that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just the fact that, you know, life with Jesus is always going to be better than the things that we get done here on earth that are, you know, worldly accomplishments. But I think that we can also use our busyness to grow our faith as well, if we allow it to be, you know. I know of so many people that are having, you know, conversations that point to God at their work, at their job, or at school. And I think that that's great. People that spend time in prayer and, you know, they're asking God to give them an opportunity or to open their eyes. We can use our busyness to our advantage in some ways, but like we said at the beginning, it can make us kind of miss perhaps God and his presence and just sitting still and being with God. So we could spend all episode just talking about just busyness.
Right. Well, and I think, you know, I think that that is what, you know, in a lot of ways makes that time so important to be with God, because, yeah, you know, I don't think we could be monks, you know, that's on the table, but, you know, probably for most of us, we're not going to be, we're going to spend most of our days at work and with family and kind of doing all those things. And so I think one of the reasons that making space to spend time with God becomes so important is because it actually is able to, I think it helps us frame the way that we do those times differently. You know, otherwise we kind of almost become, you know, at the mercy of our busyness or our schedule. And we're just kind of trying to get through all the next things instead of, I think, kind of being rooted and grounded in God first, lets us in each of those things, like you were saying, be attentive, like asking God, where is he at? Where are the people here that I can minister to and serve? But I think sometimes whenever we let busyness have the first word and take away that time to be with God, then busyness kind of, we're kind of at the mercy of it, rather than able to, I think, be really present in it to God and to others.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And some of that is not necessarily our doing all the time. I mean, some things we have to be on schedule for in our lives.
Yeah, yeah.
due to our busyness, you know, I've got to know what I'm doing in the next, 42 months. You know, like, mm-hmm. Sorry, I'm busy that weekend. I can't help you move. Yeah. but you know, just. everything now it seems can become scheduled, and time with God becomes mm-hmm. even more important. And so that leads me to my last mm-hmm. question here today. What are some things we can do, take home in our everyday life, to build that personal relationship with God?
Yeah. I think obviously, I think a big part is probably trying to make time every day for prayer and scripture. I think those are big ones. And maybe a quiet time, whether some people it works best in the morning or the evening. I don't know if there is one way that it has to be done, but I think making space for that time to be with God. One other thing that I kind of thought of was, I remember at one point somebody had invited me to set an alarm every hour on my phone. And when that alarm went off, to recite Psalm 23, stop for just a second, whatever I'm doing, and just kind of recite Psalm 23. And so I think, you know, that's just one example, but I think for me, something that I've kind of been thinking about lately and that's really helpful is finding little things like that throughout the day. Because otherwise it can kind of feel like you kind of, maybe even if you had a quiet time that morning or that evening or whatever, that the day can just almost get away from you, you know, and you can kind of just be like, I just don't even know what happened today. I just felt so busy. And I don't know. I don't feel like I had any connection with God or something, you know? And so I think, kind of finding little ways like that. And I think about like, you know, in Acts 3, there's this story where Peter and John. I was going to say Peter and James, but I think it's Peter and John, that they're on their way to the temple and they stop because there's a man who's asking them for money, and they say, well, we don't have money, but we can heal you. And so they heal him. But anyway, they're on the temple to pray. And in verse 1, it says it kind of the time of prayer. I think it's interesting that they had a time of prayer that was kind of set aside, and it was that was normal for them, and it was this way of kind of doing that, of making space for God. And so I think one way that I've been thinking about more that I haven't always thought about is, how do I do this with other people? Like, how do I be with God with other people, or how do I let them help me, like, be accountable, you know, and help me develop some of these habits? Because a lot of times I think whenever we try and start to make these habits, sometimes we can just feel like we're spinning our wheels, you know, we just like sleep in every day, you know, and it's like, you know, and so how do, you know, I think having people who are part of that journey is really helpful.
Oh yeah. And, you know, just thinking about like, you know, what you get to see as a campus minister, you know, you get to see that like in action. You know, something that we've kind of haven't mentioned is how key the church is in helping us build our personal relationship with God. Like, worship is such a community driven thing, and it is. But you know, when you're sitting there in your pew and you're singing, you know, a song that you love, you know, that's also really deeply personal. Or when the you know, preacher mentions something in a sermon that may not be as applicable to someone else, but it's really applicable to you, something that you're going through right then, that's personal. And so when we think personal, we often think, you know, personal worship time, which is good. But also there's such a communal aspect to your personal relationship with God. And so I'm sure that you love getting to see that, you know, just through Bible study and singing and stuff like that. I know that would be so rewarding to see, to just see those students and those people just find their relationship with God with the help of other people, and you're doing it together. It's an amazing environment, and it's an amazing just community that you're able to build that helps you build that personal relationship with God.
Well, and I think that's one of the things about kind of this stage of life that's so unique, is that for most people, you know, some people kind of, they'll go to college or they'll go to do the next thing, whatever's kind of next in kind of the young adult stage for them, if it's you know, just going to work or trade school or something. But so sometimes that'll be kind of close to home, but most of the time it's not. And so you're kind of at this stage where you kind of have some separation from your family, and a lot of people haven't really kind of started their immediate family, haven't really got married, had kids, those things yet. And so you're kind of in this stage where if you can embrace it, it's really a chance to live into letting the church be your family, in a way that is hard to do in some of the other seasons of life with some of the other commitments that that God gives us, you know, caring for parents and caring for kids and a spouse and things like that. And so it can be a really neat thing where I think about in Acts 2, right, where they met together daily, you know, and spent time in prayer and, you know, teaching and those things. And I think that this stage of life can be a really neat opportunity to experience that kind of shared life, and caring for each other and learning and growing and serving. And so I think, I think that's one of the neatest things about getting to kind of work with people in this stage of life.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, going back to what you mentioned earlier, you know, we were kind of, we were talking about kind of the dangers of being so busy and being so scheduled. But at the same time, I think being scheduled, you know, you mentioned, you know, having an alarm set for you to do a certain thing. we're kind of contradicting a little bit, but like, it can help to be scheduled with those spiritual disciplines, with those practices, because like we've said, you know, life is busy. And so if we're not intentional about setting aside that time, then perhaps we can miss it. And like you said, you know, the day can just kind of get away from us and we think, oh man, you know, I should have prayed more. I should have, but what if, you know, you're with students, maybe they have a break from 11:30 to 12:30 to go get lunch, and you know, they're getting lunch, and you know, what if they ate their food, spent 5 minutes in prayer? It's things like that. Or you know, on your way to work, you just, maybe you turned off the radio and you just said, I'm just gonna pray, or I'm gonna put on the Bible app and listen to it, whatever it is. I think just mentioning that, I think in our world today, in the busyness, we also have so many more opportunities to access that personal relationship because of things like, you know, YouTube, where you can put on a sermon, yeah, or you can, you know, put on the Bible app or a podcast, whatever it is. We have so many opportunities now to ingrain God into our daily lives. And I think that that's really important for us to do, because we don't need to put our personal relationship in one box, and then we've got work in another box, and then we've got family in another box. God needs to be the box. And then we fit everything else around that, around him. Yeah. And he controls it all. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that analogy.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, hey, this has been a great conversation. I'm so glad you were able to come on, and hope the rest of the semester goes well, and you're able to have a nice winter break afterwards, because I'm sure you deserve it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Tyler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.